Hello and welcome back to the Up Close and Personal Trainer podcast. It's been a while.
Hello.
Hot minute. Why do people say hot minute?
I have no idea. Yeah. I have literally no idea, but it has been a hot minute, hasn't it?
It's been a hot minute. Yeah.
Do you want to hear my conspiracy theory about the Romanian dog adoption?
Yes. Yes,
history.
I do. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, I adopted a little dog from Romania, and the charity is called Small Dog Rescue Scotland. And the whole process has been amazing, right? So easy, literally the easiest thing ever. She arrived that night. She slept through the night. She's toilet trained. She walks really well on the lead. And that combined with the fact, so then after that, one of my friends also adopted a dog from Romania, and it was a slightly different process. Her dog was just a little puppy, and hers arrived straight off this van. So a Romanian guy arrived at our front door with a van filled with about 40 dogs, said, "Oh, is this your dog? Are you expecting Zoe?" Handed her Zoe. Zoe was absolutely stinking because she'd just traveled 5 days in a van from Romania. They took a picture with her, as in, like, you know, when the Amazon delivers something to proof that. So they took a picture of her holding Zoe, and then off she went, and the van, bye. And that was it. There you go. There's your new dog. And I just think, like, so the van was...
Can I just ask, how much, like, do you have to pay for it to be delivered? Does it come on Amazon Prime, or, like, is this extra?
Right, so the adoption costs £400. Now, this is just a silly conspiracy theory. I'm sure that they are, like, so I think there's a lot of stray dogs in Romania, and what happens is whenever they find a stray dog on the street, they put them in these kill shelters, and then... this charity gathers them all up, finds home for them in the UK, and distributes them. Distributes is the wrong word. Puts them up for adoption. I'm still in the Amazon.
It does sound
mindset.
Like they're distributing them, doesn't it?
Yeah. But then the fact that my dog is so well-trained and loving, loves children, loves other dogs, makes me think, who put her up for adoption? Have they just stolen a loving Romanian family's pet and then delivered her to Scotland? And now I'm really worried that this is what this charity's doing.
Oh, because no.
Everyone you speak to now has a Romanian dog.
Yeah, like, no, it's quite in vogue, isn't it? Quite the thing to have. Yeah, you know, I don't get pedigree dogs. I just get Romanian street dogs.
Like almost announcing that you donate to charity, because people have been coming up when I'm walking her and like, oh, she's really cute, what kind is she? She's Romanian.
She's a rescue dog.
I rescued her. I literally picked her up off the street in Romania and rescued her myself. So yeah, it just seems like, how are they producing that many dogs? Like, she said there was 5 vans with about 40 dogs arriving that day from Romania.
Yeah, so your adoption experience seems quite legit with mm-hmm. the, you know, that small dog adoption thing. But this one doesn't really seem legit.
It doesn't really seem legit at all.
But it does, does seem more like you're actually rescuing a dog.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because it does sound like they are literally street dogs, and you're just like... Mm-hmm. Here's one called Zoe. Yeah.
So do you think mine sounds like I've stolen someone's family pet? It kind of does, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. No, you put it like that.
Well, if you're in Romania listening to the Up Close and Personal Trainer podcast and you're missing a small white dog with big nips, then I'm really sorry. She's mine now.
She looks quite a lot like Dobby. She's so cute. She's so cute.
You know, I said this to you before, but she is quite like you. She's got a long body, a gorgeous face with big ears.
Massive
she's blonde.
Nips.
Huge nips. And little short legs.
But I don't have like ears that are actually bigger than my head.
No, you don't. You're right.
I've got quite small ears.
You've got
ears.
Really normal size. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she is really sassy.
We could be related.
I know. Anyway, how have you been? What's been exciting happen for you?
Oh, well, you know, life is quite exciting at the moment, isn't it? With everything going on. No, I've been fine. Like, just sort of working away. Business has gone really well. Work's going well.
And you know what? It does starts really soon.
Pardon?
Commit to Six starts really soon.
Commit to Six starts on Friday, Monday.
So if we upload this podcast, is there still time for people to sign up?
Yes, because I will be uploading it today, and today is Wednesday.
Right, this is a call to action. If you were thinking about signing up to Commit to Six, just do it. Just do it. It will be the best thing that you can do for the last quarter of 2020. Don't let 2020 end the way that it's begun. Let it end on a high with Commit to Six.
Wow, that was beautiful. That was not even scripted. That was just great.
What, I just made that up.
But what I will say, I'm not sure if anyone will actually be listening to this, that it's appropriate to, but the real difference between Commit to Six and other group coaching programs is that it is essentially one-to-one coaching. Like, you are assigned a one-to-one coach who will work with you through the process. You can contact them anytime. You have your check-ins with them. They adapt anything you need to adapt to. So that's the difference between bigger group coaching programs like the EC Method and smaller group coaching programs, where we're like quite a tight-knit small group and you're getting one-to-one coaching. That's why it is a different service. Just not trying to put that in there because I get quite a few questions about that. And then also, interestingly, now that EIQ is open again, which is the nutrition education course, I had a few people being like, do you think I should do like the EC Method or EIQ? And I was like, they're just a little bit different, like just slightly different. EIQ is an education course.
Some sort of package where people just sign up for everything that you're offering right now. I'll have it all. Have it all. If it's got your name on it, I'll do it. But being a student of EIQ nutrition, I would and also recommend, while you're signing up for Commit to Six, also sign up for EIQ nutrition. I'm still working through it. Like, I'm working through it on my own pace. And I've just finished lecture 8, which was a real highlight. I love that one. That one was about, can you remember?
No.
The downsides of dieting.
Was it the dark side of dieting?
Dark side. And what you get with EIQ nutrition is not just like, you know, what's in protein. I mean, you get that as well. Or like, what does protein do to your body? But it's so much more how you can implement all of these things as a coach. And working with people, being an empathetic coach, working with different sort of attitudes towards dieting. And it's brilliant. I've loved it.
Oh, thank you. I'm very glad. I shall pass that on to Dr. Amelia Thompson, who is the other half of EIQ Nutrition. Okay. But apart from like work and stuff, I feel like days are becoming a bit like Groundhog Day. Like, it's getting a little bit samey. And I think, you know, I'm the only one that can mix that up. So I'm gonna mix it up a little bit. But for the last week, probably like 3 or 4 weeks, actually, most days have been the same, which is kind of nice in a way, because you're in a good routine. But equally, like, I'm not even really changing it up on the weekend, because there's not that much to do on the weekend either. So this weekend I'm going to change it up.
What are you going to do to change it up?
Do you know what? I don't even think I need that much of a change. It might literally just be like getting out of Dundee and going for a walk somewhere else. That's probably, I know. But that's probably all I need, is just like a...
Yes, I totally agree with you, because every single day is the same and I'm so bored of the same dog walk from my house. So what I've been doing is packing everyone into the car, driving maybe about 2 miles in one direction, and then taking a walk from that destination, and that honestly just makes such a difference.
It's crazy, isn't it? Just a slightly different, like, I'll sometimes just drive over the bridge And it feels like I'm right out of Dundee, and it feels like I've done something different with my day. And that's like enough. But
you went swimming. You went swimming in the River Tay, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it's that part is essentially the sea, kind of, because it's a mystery. It's where the river meets the sea.
Mm. Oh, I see. It was. I was going to say I would never swim in the Clyde, and I don't know if the Tay is the same. You wouldn't swim.
Yeah,
in it,
you
would
wouldn't
you?
Swim like some people do, I think, but I would prefer not to swim in the Tay. But if you go just further out, then it's basically the sea, and that's nice.
Lovely. Lovely. That would be a change up of your routine.
It was, yes.
Okay, let's discuss something. Let's throw out a subject to discuss. How about that?
How about that? Yeah, let's.
So a while ago you posted about the fact that you are haunted by a ghost. Is that right?
Yes. That was on the weekend, wasn't it? In fact, one of my clients sent me a check and they were like, you'll find this really funny. And it was like a full article about how actually gay people they weren't attracted to the same sex. It's just that they were haunted by, for example, I must be haunted by a male ghost because I find females attractive. Whereas gay men are being haunted by female ghosts, and that's why they find other men attractive.
Yeah. But that doesn't make sense, because there's a difference between gender and sexuality. So you could be haunted by a gay man ghost.
No, because being gay isn't a thing. That's not a thing.
Oh.
No. You don't understand.
Being gay isn't a thing, but being haunted by a ghost is a thing.
That is what is causing the gay behavior. But actually, nobody fancies the same sex. You're just being haunted.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. And you've just never thought about being exorcised?
No. Well, I mean, I wasn't aware this was what was happening. So this week's been tough, because it's been a decision, you know, I've been thinking about whether I want to rid myself of the ghost or whether I just want to embrace the ghost.
No, I definitely think you should embrace him.
Embrace him.
But yeah, I think I'm haunted by a gay man ghost.
Why?
Because, I mean, I'm attracted to men, but also I'm a bit...
You've got a little touch of lesbian.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In your mannerisms.
I think... In my mannerisms?
Yeah.
Like grabbing boobs.
It's just something a little bit...
All the time.
Little bit lesbian about you.
Oh, thanks. I think as we've discussed on podcasts before, sexuality is a spectrum, and we're all somewhere on that spectrum, you know.
Sorry, I'm not being rude. I was just looking for the link to the... Oh right, here we go. I'd put it in the Commit to Six coaching group. Just looking for the link. Yeah. Research claims that 85% of LGBT+ people are possessed by ghostly entities. Okay, and then what's interesting is there is also... So then you're thinking, what about that other 15%? Well, apparently 5% is due to hormonal changes, and 10% is due to psychological. So having an experience with a person of the same sex as a teenager or young adult that was pleasurable, and therefore wanting that experience again. But 85% spiritually is mainly ghosts, apparently.
Mainly ghosts. Do you know what I loved your response to it? And you were like, and it's not because women are fucking beautiful.
Why do I sound like that? It's not because women are fucking beautiful.
Fucking beautiful. Have you seen women?
Have you seen women, though? This also, it goes on to say, this piece explains that large celebrations like pride parades are especially bad, as they emit negative energy for up to 10 kilometres, indirectly... Oh. Yeah. Anyway, wow. So don't go to Pride, basically.
Yeah. Or maybe the Ghostbusters could go to Pride. They'd have an absolute field day.
Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah. It was an eye-opener for me, that. But on a more... I don't even know what the right word is. On another note, there was something I read that I was like, oh, I feel like that hits on the head something really interesting to talk about, at least. So this was something I saw on Instagram and shared, and it says, an overfixation on the self is not healthy. You do not need to pay microscopic attention to every single fluctuation in your feelings. It is really important to state you are under no obligation to do quote unquote inner work at all if you do not struggle with your mental health. And even then, the point is to be well, not to be a wellness project forever. It's a funny dichotomy because on the one hand, we have the encouragement of a very egocentric, self-fixated / absorbed way of being. And on the other, we are treating oneself like a project that must constantly be improved in order to avoid what is actually going on internally. Just like an overfixation on food or exercise isn't a well behavior, neither is an overfixation on your feelings. You are not a project, you are a person. You are allowed to just be. The whole thing is optional and you are under no obligation to make yourself do it. I thought that was quite interesting because there's so much out there at the moment, or I don't know if it's like the echo chamber I'm in on social media, but about like doing self-work, working on yourself. You should always be trying to better yourself mentally. Like you should see a therapist, even if you don't need to see, like don't feel like you need to see a therapist. And sometimes I agree with that. And part of me is like, okay, why would you wait until you need to see a therapist to go and see a therapist? Like if you can avoid the point at which you would really need it, then like prevention is better than a cure, right? Same with, I mean, you could align that to saying, well, I don't need a personal trainer yet because I'm not technically obese. Like, I'll just wait until I get to that point. No, because you never need to get to that point because prevention is better than a cure. So it's an interesting concept. There's obviously the huge gray area in between, like, you know, having a mental health breakdown and struggling a little bit. And when and hopefully when you're struggling a little bit would be when you take action as opposed to waiting until it got to a worse point. But I do think that there can be this over obsession with always doing work on yourself. And I think I spoke to my mum about this because she read a book about, I think it maybe was like a monk or something, and basically he has found inner peace, and it was how he found inner peace. And by finding inner peace, like mostly what he did was just be alone a lot. And I was like, well, that's maybe not the life I want, is just to be alone all the time, even if I did have inner peace. Like if, and then the assumption that actually being happy and having this like quote inner peace, whatever that might be, should be the goal in life is a bit odd as well. So I thought it'd be interesting to discuss.
Yeah, no, I agree with you because I wanted to discuss it as well because you shared another post by her yesterday. And it was, so she wrote, things we're told to aspire to, like self-worth and loving your inner child, have little to no evolutionary purpose. Things we're meant to fix, like perfectionism, anxiety, and working too hard, are evolutionary adaptations that ensured our survival. So I feel like her last post, the one that you read out, was a little bit more nuanced and a little bit more balanced, whereas this one, she's definitely, she's got a line here. She's... and I just
interestingly, can we just put the sort of little bit of context in it? She is
she's a therapist,
right? Which is quite refreshing because normally it's like pushing therapy on people, or like I don't know, you get personal trainers who are like, no, everyone needs a personal trainer and blah blah, you know, like pushing your service on someone. So it's quite refreshing from a therapist to be saying, not everyone needs this. You don't always need to be working on yourself. which is interesting.
I know, but so I'm just reading it. So I used to be the same as you. I used to think that I just never had.
Before I was enlightened.
No, before I got depressed. I used to think like that suffering from mental health was just something that didn't happen to me. Like I was.
Oh, I didn't think fine. That. I didn't.
No. I know. I used to think that, and I used to think that there was a lot of like self-indulgence, and she does like talk about that in the second post. She says, there are all these things we're told to aspire to be healthy, rest more, take naps, self-care, self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence. What's the common denominator? Self. I don't think ever before in history have we been so obsessed with the self. And I kind of agreed with that. I used to agree that, yeah, we are so obsessed with self. And then sometimes we push self-care over into self-destructive, and you can become quite selfish because you're so focused on looking after yourself that you don't actually look after or care about anyone else. But then I started to go on my own journey with that, and now I totally don't agree with this at all. And it is probably just because I've also done inner child work. And I just think like when people talk about evolutionary purpose, we're humans, we're different from animals. And I mean, that's a great thing, isn't it? Like I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive, and I want to be happy, and I want to be healthy. I don't want to just like accept that looking after my mental health is something that you don't actually have to do because we're not like evolved to do it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I things come into this. So like a couple of points on that. Like I think, and for me personally, like even when you're looking at altruism and you think actually doing things, like for example, I get a lot from charity work personally. Like I get a lot personally from helping other people. My whole purpose is helping other people. That's what my job is built on. That's how I make money. So as much as that might seem a selfless pursuit, it's also a selfish pursuit. That's what makes me happy. Mm. So I don't think it's always as clear as being like, I'm working on myself, I'm not working on anyone else. Like when people say like, oh, find what makes you happy, do what makes you happy, work on yourself until you become happy. Like a lot of the time, what might seem as a selfless thing, which might be helping someone else, is actually giving you huge purpose and benefit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa is like when you look at, especially from our clients, like busy mums who are like, oh, I couldn't possibly spend that much time, money and effort on myself, when mm-hmm. actually it makes them a better person, a better mum. They've got more time, they've got more, well, maybe not more time, they've got more patience, they're healthier. Mm-hmm. You want to bet mm-hmm. That your kids aren't going to be like so appreciative that you took time out to go and exercise when you start getting older and they have to look after you. Like hell yeah, they're probably nothing more important to them than your health, and yeah. They'll be massively appreciative that you took the time to invest in that throughout your life, even if at the moment that means, you know, you're half an hour late picking them up from football.
Yeah, going back to her post, there was one like sentence that kind of like really jarred with me as well. She said, working hard requires a sort of mobilization and focus, which would probably fit a hunter profile. I think entrepreneurs fit that profile really well. And then what was almost coming into my ears was, and I was thinking,
sorry,
like,
what? How many...
you know that from Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh right, yeah, okay, right.
That was like coming into my head because like entrepreneurs, she's almost saying that like people that have that like toxic perfectionism that are like so hyper focused on succeed and don't actually focus on their self, are just so like focused upwards, are successful people. But then are they happy people? Are they always happy people? Are CEOs who we should aspire to be? Are we always aspiring to be like the most rich, the most successful? And something that is like I've been thinking about recently is it's actually okay to be sometimes just an average person.
Well, by definition, like society kind of like needs quote unquote
absolutely
in order for it to
absolutely
work. If everyone yeah. was a CEO, there'd be yeah. no one to work in the companies. Like, and that's fine. And I sort of noticed that quite a lot in people in my life, and it does tend to be that a lot of the time they're quote unquote average people who don't put as much expectations on themselves potentially have a much better like life balance and tend to have more enjoyment time with their family than the CEO who's like massively stressed. And you see that with the graph that sort of shows like your earning potential or how much you earn versus your happiness. And I think it's something like 60K, might be a little bit more, but that's like the peak happiness. And probably right. because what comes with more money is more responsibility, more stress. And actually that like, and you don't need more money than that in order to not have the stresses of not having enough money, if yeah. that makes sense. So, and with most things, there is that like law of diminishing returns or that like inverted U where like more and more of something isn't just like better and better. So that's quite mm-hmm. interesting. But it is interesting as well, like you talk about, she's almost suggesting that some of these instincts we have are good things because they were good things evolutionary, from an evolutionary perspective. But that's a very dangerous argument to take, because if you take that and you're just like, well, you know, men want to rape women because it's an evolutionary response. Yeah. Like you yep. can claim things like that, which obviously we're not okay with. But like no. where's, you know, and why is that an okay thing in other situations? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you can claim like so much bad behavior could be put down to like aggression and things. Oh, well, you know, he's a man. He's got high testosterone. That's how he's been evolved to survive. Blah, blah, blah. Like that's.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't live in a society anymore that allows that.
Yeah, but then is that if you could argue this as well, that like, our evolutionary constraints are somewhat now dictated by our society as well. So it's not just like nature that's dictating these things, but also we've created rules around these as well. So, you know, you could argue that, well, actually you couldn't, because that wouldn't work, doesn't matter. I was going to say that like,
have you seen
education is now like you're more likely to be successful, but success is slightly different now as well, because what we now don't deem success as purely reproduction. Yet actually probably the lower educational levels are reproducing more than people who reach higher educational levels, partly because they probably put off having children till later. So that's another kind of interesting thought.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy. Have you seen Wall-E?
No.
Well,
isn't it a cartoon? That's like set,
it's a Pixar, and it's set in the future, and people have evolved to have like hardly any bones, and they're just all big blobs, and they can't walk anymore, and they're just in these chairs, and the chairs sort of like fly them around. And I do really enjoy Wall-E, but I don't like that narrative that we're regressing because of technology, that in future that we will just all have like no bone density and we'll just be big blobs and we can't do anything for ourselves anymore. I actually think that although there's a pandemic on right now, there is more good in the world, but the news media wants us to think the opposite and think that life is just shit.
Well, no, I think you're right. And like, we don't appreciate enough. So even with a global pandemic, our quality of life now in general is way better than it was 100 years ago. It's absolutely. Probably way better than it was 50 years ago. And even like the lowest level of quality of life at the moment is still actually probably better than where we were 100 years ago. So like, quality of life is increasing. It's just obviously at the moment it's kind of hard to see that. But yeah, when you take a step back and look at like the more sort of grand scheme, although it wouldn't surprise me if we ended up like the Wall-E thing because of how artificial intelligence, if I said it wrong.
No, I'm just laughing. You should see it. It's a really good film. It's really cute.
I'll maybe have a little watch.
There's one point, and it might be making this up, but I don't think I am, where like they're on a ship floating through space and the ship starts to tip. And obviously no one, everyone's really round and no one has any bones and they all just start to like roll. And it's quite cute because the people are still really nice. They're just really round. And that's the way they've evolved.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think, unfortunately, like, I mean, that's probably how things will end. Like, we'll be like, oh, but we have all this intelligence. We have all these, like, systems and everything's technology is, like, so advanced, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, yeah, but we can no longer, like, swim or something. I don't know. Oh, I mean, what's probably...
oh, shit.
What's probably going to happen is something really mild will wipe us all out because antibiotic resistance.
Do you think so?
Yeah, probably.
No, I think like people always enjoy exercising. People always enjoy being outside. People always enjoy eating healthy food, good food for their bodies. So I don't see why we would just like not do all that stuff and just become blobs.
Well, okay, this is why I love personal training and why I'm not worried about us being like, as much as technology is advancing, and obviously I run an online personal training business and so do you, but there is no way that technology can do it for you. With exercise, you still need to do it yourself, and I cannot foresee anything that is going to change that in the near future. There is no way that a machine can do the exercise for you. You will always have to do the exercise. And the way our bodies are and the way medicine is and understanding of like even a little bit about that, there isn't going to be a way that you can maintain health without exercising. So I think that will always be important. Yep.
Amen.
There we go. Right, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I've got some quick fire questions for you.
Okay.
Because I just think that your listeners would like to just get to know you a little bit better. And I think quick fire questions are a really good way to do that.
Yeah, because do you know what? I don't really do enough podcasts or speak very much to people. So people know, probably like, are like, who is Emma?
The real ESG. We're going to peel back the layers. Here we go. Right, so I'm going to do a round at a time, and then if there's anything that we want to discuss, we can go over it.
Okay, and do I get to ask them back to you?
I mean, you can quickly Google quickfire questions if you want, because that's what I did.
Oh, okay, you go first.
Right, ready? Texting or talking?
Voice notes.
Favorite day of the week?
Sunday.
This isn't quick. Favorite city in the UK besides the one you live?
Edinburgh.
Nickname your parents used to call you?
Emzo.
Last song you listened to?
Oh, I don't know.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Language.
Favorite holiday?
Australia.
How long does it take you to get ready?
3 minutes.
What?
Well, I know it's hard to tell because look at me.
Do you not shower? Or do you use a wet
wipe? Well, normally I shower at night.
Okay.
But even in the shower, not that long.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, you know. I'm going to say 8 because I'm quite slow. I mean, if we're talking about good, I mean safe.
Okay. Fill in the blank. Taylor Swift is?
Overrated.
Ooh. At what age do you want to retire?
Never.
There's a surprise. Invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
And is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat Monster Munch?
What, pickled onion would be all right, wouldn't it? As long as it's not beef flavour.
That's us at the end of the first round. Taylor Swift is overrated? Yeah, I'm still with you. Still with you.
Do you know who I think is underrated? Paris Hilton.
Oh, no, she's not. She's amazing. Have you seen the documentary yet?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think people have, like, the wrong impression of her. I think she's awesome. Mm-hmm.
She's a very intelligent business lady.
Mm.
Right, do you want another round? I want another round. I want to hear more.
Hell right, ready? Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets?
10.
I am a 1. I'll just admit that right now. Don't tell me anything. Just never tell me anything.
Oh God. I'm just trying to rattle my brain of everything I've told you. And...
No, I'm joking. I'm maybe about a 3. Ariel or Jasmine?
Ariel.
First celebrity crush?
I don't know. Serena from Gossip Girl. But I don't know if that was my first.
She is a babe, though. Morning or night?
Morning.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
Well, after we've just spoken about how much better quality of life is now, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd want to go back.
Okay, do you snore?
Do you know what? I thought I didn't. And then ever since I've started wearing this gum shield because I grind my teeth at night, I think I do.
Do you grind your teeth?
Mm.
When did you discover that?
Yes. After I cracked one of my teeth.
Well, listen up, listeners. You wouldn't know that just listening to the other ESG podcasts, would you? No, you're getting here first. She wears a mouth guard at night. Okay.
Very attractive.
Place you most want to travel?
Thailand.
Favorite junk food?
Chips. Nando's chips.
Yeah. Favorite childhood TV show?
Oh, what was the one called where they go the Thornberrys?
Oh, yeah! Nigel Thornberry with a big nose.
Yeah, that Nigel Thornberry is basically my dad.
Is he?
Yeah. That's, I mean, he doesn't have a massive nose, but everything else.
He's very posh.
Yeah. And into, like, wildlife. My dad's a marine biologist.
Do you? Oh, is he? So do you have, like, dolphin heads stuck around the house?
Yes. No exaggeration. Yes. There's actually this, like, skull of a dolphin that's, like, above my
head. I was joking.
Yeah, I know you were, but... And also this disc that is a vertebrae from a blue whale, I believe.
Wow, what size is it?
Really big. Because whales are pretty big, you know.
Right, 2 more. Last Halloween costume that you ever wore?
A chili.
Oh, I think I've seen that, actually.
Yeah, it comes out quite a lot because it's very easy. Yeah.
Okay. Cake or pie?
Cake.
And finally, your favorite inspirational quote.
Oh, there's too many. I like wake up determined, go to bed satisfied. I like nothing changes if nothing changes. Quite simple.
Yep.
What's yours?
Oh, I have no clue. But do you know which one came to my head there? It's shoot for the stars. No, is it? Shoot for the stars. Because if you miss, you'll land on the moon.
The shittest. Do you know what? I remember that one because my primary school teacher wrote that in, you know, when you, like, leave primary school. It's like, thank you. And it was like, shoot for the stars, Emma, because if you fall, you'll land on the moon. Like, why the fuck would I want to be on the moon?
I want to be the fucking stars, miss.
That was want to be in the stars. I want to burn alive in the stars.
I don't know. I don't have one that springs to mind, to
Do you
be
know
honest.
Some people, like, obviously I get the whole shoot for the stars, but then I've heard other people say things like, aim low and then you'll never be disappointed when you overachieve.
Which also, like, you could live by that.
Yeah, like, that kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people subconsciously do live by that as well. They're like, oh, I'll just say I only want this, and then when I'm able to do a little bit more, then, like, that's good, because I will have said, you know, I will have done more than I said I could. Self-handicapping. You used to see it all the time in running, where someone before a race would be like, oh, don't think I'm going to run very well today because I've not trained all week, because I really hurt myself and I feel really sick today, but I'll just do it anyway. And it's like, you feel fine, shut up. And then they'll run a PB and they're like, oh, but at least they have, like, it takes the pressure off themselves, because when they don't run well, they can be like, oh yeah, but remember before when I was saying I felt sick, that must be why. Self-handicap.
That's so annoying. That's so annoying. See, when you're, like, competing against someone and they beat you and they're like, I'm on my period today. Fuck off. And you beat me and I'm not on my period. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens a lot in CrossFit.
Yeah.
Are people like, oh, I'm really tired today, and then they come and smash it, or they, like, work so hard, but they've, like, prefaced it by saying I'm really tired, so don't judge them. Yeah, I find that really annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not ideal. Okay, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I heard this on another podcast. Oh, it's not going to work so well. Okay, well, I'm just going to ask you anyway. Would you rather have sex with a goat, but nobody knows you've had sex with a goat, or not have sex with the goat, but everyone thinks you had sex with a goat?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. And I think it would tell you a lot about me, wouldn't it?
Well, it goes a bit deeper, doesn't it? Because it's, do you care more about knowing yourself that you did the right thing, i.e. not having sex with a goat? Or do you care more about what other people think of you?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, isn't it? But then you would always know. See, if you had sex with a goat, you would always know that you had. And then you'd probably have to spend hundreds of pounds on therapy to talk about it. And also, I've just established that I can't keep secrets. So I would tell someone.
You'd be like, guess what? I had sex with a goat.
You could turn it round. You could turn it round in your favour and be like,
turn the goat round, or
no. Here is where I came from. I had sex with a goat, and now here I am. And you could, like, sell your story of be on This Morning Britain or Good Morning Britain, and then be like this really inspirational figure. But then everyone knows about it.
Or,
oh my God,
yeah, no, that could be, like, nowadays, it'd just be like, do you know what? I made mistakes when I was younger, and yes, I did have sex with a goat, but it just makes me unrelatable.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. That's the answer I would go for. No, I wouldn't have sex with a goat, but then I'd tell everyone, and it would be like a survivor story. Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. Turn it in my favour. What about you? What would you do?
I don't know. I think it's an interesting one. I think I wouldn't have sex with the goat. But I do like goats, just not in a sexual way.
It's moments like this when I'm like, I can't believe you have me on your podcast.
Well, I mean, I have a question, so.
I know. And when I look at you and you're saying, okay, so I don't think I would have sex with a goat. And I'm like, oh, Emma, I've pulled you down to my level.
What about other situations? Like, for some reason, and I don't know what this says about me as well, but I sometimes have nightmares about this. But, like, imagine it was either you killed someone or everyone thought that you killed someone, and that was your option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I sometimes have, like, really bad nightmares about killing someone and then having to cover it up. Oh God.
So you would rather take everyone thinking that you'd killed someone than actually
I couldn't live with myself if I had. So there would be no point. So I would just have to take everyone thinking it. But equally, that would be very bad, and maybe you'd be in prison for the rest of your life.
Mm. I wonder where that dream comes from, because I love talking about dreams and interpreting them. So you dream that you accidentally kill someone, or you do it intentionally?
No, it's always an act. Like, there's never any malice in it. Like, it's always an accident, mm-hmm. but then I, like, have to cover it up. And I'm like, oh, I'll be fine.
What do you think that means?
I don't know.
That's so intriguing.
Weird, isn't it? Do you have any recurring dreams?
I get dreams, like, I get imposter syndrome dreams all the time. In fact, actually, recently I posted about a dream that I had. And I was like, guys, what do you think it means? And then, like, five people were like, it's imposter syndrome. And then I read it back. I was like, oh, actually, yeah.
But what, so what was the dream?
Oh, shit. What was it? Oh, I can't remember. But it's always me doing something that I'm totally not qualified to do. So, like, say, like, there's a situation in someone's, like, maybe someone's, I don't know, really ill. And I'm like, it's okay, guys. I'm here. I will fix it. And then I'm in a situation and I can't fix it at all because I don't know what I'm talking about. And I have that dream all the time.
Yeah, I guess that is imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah, I do have it all the time.
That's legitimate imposter syndrome. You know, like, it's like me being like, yes, I'm a doctor. I will do your heart surgery. Like, yeah, you're not, and you don't know how to do that. It's not, it wouldn't be the same as like always having a dream that like you were found out for not being a good personal trainer, because you are a good personal trainer.
No, I've remembered the dream. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
So there was a girl on Instagram who was like posting about wanting to start a lockdown band, and I messaged her and I was like, I'll be in the band. Hi, I'm Shona. I'll be in the band. And she's like, what instrument can you play? And I was like, I can't play any instruments, but I will be in the band. And then she said, okay, you can play tambourine. And I played tambourine, but it was a lockdown band, so it was on Zoom. So everyone had like a different square. So the guitarist had a square, the singer had a square. And I had my tambourine. And then there was like all these live stream comments, and everyone underneath was like, lose the tambourine, this tambourine is so bad. Because what I did was I played for 5 minutes and then I was like, oh, I'm kind of bored. So I wandered off. The rest of the band continued playing. My square was empty because I wasn't here. And then I came back at the end and I was like, oh, picked, I forgot, sorry. And then I was like, guys, what does this dream mean? But I felt that it meant not only imposter syndrome, but that I was like quite an entitled person, because I was like, I'll be in the band. Hello, choose me. I can't play any instrument, but I'll be good.
Yeah, I always got given the bloody triangle. That's how bad at music I am.
Well, it's an important instrument.
It's important.
Yeah. Otherwise it wouldn't exist.
Right. Well, I think that rounds up this podcast nicely.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Emma. I enjoyed it.
Thanks,
bye, everyone.
For listening. If you've enjoyed, please do share it and subscribe and all of the good things. Okay. Goodbye.
Commit to sex and the IQ. Bye.